I'm going to take it all the way back. And this is our very first episode. So welcome. We're your hosts. We're your hosts. I don't need a big black bug, but a big black bear.
And we don't want to do our... We don't
aluminum
want to
linoleum.
I don't want to turn into like cheesy radio voice like, hey, welcome from PBS. I don't want to do that.
Because, oh my God. We're recording this.
Yeah. Hey, teachers from PBS Student Reporting Labs. This is
Teacher Reporting Labs.
Oh, are you seriously?
I know, right? That? I thought you'd like that.
we're shaking it up by putting teachers and educators like us behind the mic. And what we're going to do is we're going to sit with you and report back on all kinds of topics and triumphs and challenges that you and we are facing in the classroom and some great candid conversations.
And that's kind of what we're doing. But this is our first episode. So welcome. We are your hosts. I'm Michael Kaufman.
And I am Mike Conrad. Mike and I have now known each other for a decade.
Which is crazy.
But couldn't imagine a better person to be sitting across the microphone with to do this podcast for you all.
Aww, ditto.
I teach at Royal Oak High School, which is just north of Detroit. I teach TV, video, and film. I've been teaching at the school for about 14 years, a CTE certified course, and I am a very proud member of the Student Reporting Labs for the past, I'd say, maybe 11 years.
Yeah, and I'm Michael Kaufman. I teach in Lance Cruz Public Schools. I started off as an acting teacher, really, and kind of transitioned into this accidentally by how many of us do. And now I teach broadcast journalism and broadcast media in Lance Cruz. This first episode is about teaching beyond the curriculum, so the stuff that happens after school, kind of like what we're doing right now.
Yeah, and I think it's really easy to always try to tie stresses and struggles and all of our extra time into what we're doing just for curriculum, when a lot of times it's about trying to figure out a way to make those connections with those kids. Let them know that sometimes the curriculum, while it's wildly important, the connections are going to help that curriculum get delivered.
100%.
So how do we do that?
How do we do it?
We've got Krista McKim, and she teaches broadcast journalism, yearbook, and AP Lang and composition at Rockville High School in Maryland, which is right outside of Washington, D.C., right in the backyard of SRL.
And we also have Dr. Sequoia Warden, and he is a digital film, broadcast journalism, and visual arts teacher at Brentwood High School in Brentwood, New York. He has a skills trade background, and that kind of makes it really cool. I love when teachers come in with a very different background other than just coming in straight as educators, because they bring that flavor to the curriculum and to their teaching. And so they become much more passionate, I think. And I can't wait for you to hear from both of them.
All right, let's take a listen.
Hi, Krista.
Hi, Sequoia.
So I realize we don't really know each other that well, but I think we've been at a few Student Reporting Lab webinars, maybe even last summer. But, you know, anyway, it's really great to actually have a nice conversation with you in real time, finally, you know, to have an opportunity at least to talk about some things beyond the classroom, you know?
I guess for me, everything I do in all of my classes is how does this help the students outside of school? And that's a question I constantly ask myself, what am I teaching and how is it going to help them long term? And we do a lot of partnerships in my school. I mean, PBS, obviously, one of them,
of course.
Student Reporting Labs, but League of Women Voters. We've done some work with them to help the students understand the electoral process and how to advocate effectively for what they care about. I teach my AP Lang class as an advocacy course because it's nonfiction writing. And so the kids get to really dive into issues that matter to them. And we actually work to try and problem solve. How can we, I mean, I wish we could fix all the issues they want to deal with, but how can they start chipping away at that big issue that they care about?
Very nice. Yeah. It's amazing. Like, you know, we do so much that we don't even think about. I'm still getting my, you know, teaching is my second career. You know, I have a skills trade background where I used to lead construction and demolition jobs. And I thought that was challenging at the time. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get into teaching, you know, but teaching is even more challenging in some ways. But at the same time, I brought a lot of my skills with people and building teams within the school. It's been really helpful. Talking about that, I had a question where, you know, what do you think is the number one skill that you find yourself instilling in your students that maybe you never thought about when you took this job?
Public speaking. That is my baby. So many times, like, the speaking and listening skills kind of get tossed to the side in classes because people are worried about anxiety, which is a real thing, or they're worried about how much time it will take. And for me, every kid needs to know how to get up in front of someone, whether that's their boss later on and they're asking for a raise, or whether that's the city council is going to tear down their neighborhood and they need to stand up for it. That skill is what I want every single one of my kids to walk away from. And something I'm very proud of, is minus the COVID year, every single one of my students has given a speech.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. Given our students' voice is our first and primary job as broadcast journalists, right?
Yeah.
You know, and allowing them to speak to others, you know, like you said, you know, I like to have legislators come in or other teachers come in or admin come into my classroom where a lot of teachers are like, oh man, you let the principal in your room willingly, you know, or you let the superintendent come in your room willingly. You know? And I'm like, yeah, of course. It's a comfort that I think journalism or the arts in general have with others and building that community and things that our particular job, I feel, allows us to be together, you know, or be one, which is great. I know that's kind of corny, but it's true.
It's true. I'm with you on that.
So I guess before you got into teaching, what is something you wish you had known earlier, either before your teaching career or getting into it? You know, what are some things that, you know, come to mind?
Oh, for me, we're told that there's like, you're supposed to do teaching a certain way. A lot of it isn't science-based. That was something I learned early on because I'm really interested in neuroscience, is like, why are we doing what we're doing? And there's a lot of great people out there trying their best to make education amazing. And everyone's working really hard, but there's not one way to do it. I am an energetic, I am out there and I'm like, yes, my kids laugh at me because I like get super geeky and excited. And then my best friend, who's a teacher, is like a stoic kind of English teacher. But both of us love our kids and the kids love us because they know that we're true to ourselves. And I think I wish I had been told earlier, like, be true to who you are.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice.
But what you said reminded me of a question that Mindy from Clinton, New York sent in.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked, how can teachers balance structure and flexibility in their teaching approach to allow for organic moments of discovery and exploration?
I hate to answer your question with a question, but, you know, how do you evoke creativity and self-expression in certain classes? You know, like, so say it's a math class, you know, how are you doing that? And I mean, I have ideas. But I'm just saying, though, how do you do that, right? So it really takes a teacher to think outside the box and really maybe pair up with other subjects, you know, that cross collaboration within the school, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm using a lot of information from the Learning Scientists, which is a great website. Everyone should check them out. They're amazing. They're four cognitive scientists who try and get research from neuroscience into teachers' hands and help them understand how kids' brains work. And so I've been doing a lot of work with helping my students learn how they learn. And then I told my students, okay, you can vote on something that I'm going to learn. They eventually, all the classes decided on me learning how to play the guitar. But I went and I picked up the guitar from the music teacher and I talked to her about it. And then I give the kids updates like, all right, you were supposed to spend an hour on my work last week, so I spent an hour on the guitar last week. And then the end of the quarter, they know I'm going to perform for them using all the techniques that I learned. And I've never picked up a guitar. I'm not musical. Like, this is quite the challenge for me. But being vulnerable and doing what you ask of the students, I think, gets them excited and helps them be imaginative and discover new things too. Like, look, my teacher who's 40 is still out there trying to learn new things and she looks ridiculous. Maybe I could try something new too.
It's true. Yeah. That vulnerable part is so important.
Okay. Let's interrupt this for real quick. No. Kaufman's been wanting a record scratch. So yeah, like, I love the fact that learning guitar was brought up by the kids.
Right.
And instead of saying, oh no, I could never do that. Or I'm not a musical person, or every other excuse that you could give a kid. She said, yeah, let's do it.
I love that.
Has that ever happened? If anything like that, your kids said something to you like that in classroom?
So my students are always trying to get me to do crazy TikToks, right? So, I mean, it's never been go and learn something new. It's try something new. Mm-hmm. Or like, because I'm of an age that I'm a little older, they're always saying stuff like, man, that's fire. And I'll say, man, that's fire is what? You know, they ate it. And I'm like, okay, so let's do geriatrics, learn how to actually speak teen. And they love it and they eat it up. And it's like, teach me what you know and I'll teach you what I know. And it's a back and forth. So it's not me learning the guitar, but it's still connections with students.
Yeah. I think one of the things I love to do in my class, and I've been doing this now for a couple of years, is playlists. And when the kids come in to get to know them, I ask them to connect with me over a song that they like. And then I start listening. I mean, it seems so simple. Oh, listen to the music that the kids like. Oh, this music these days. No, I hate it. But it's just a simple way to show them that you care.
Right.
Outside of assignments and grades and scores.
So let's get rid of the rubrics and let's talk about what else goes on beyond the curriculum.
We have to get to this question from Elaine from Rancho Cucamonga, California, because I love this question because you have your doctorate. She asked about what are the results of current studies and data that, and what do they show us about effective learning environments and strategies? And how do you incorporate them even if they don't check that curriculum standard box?
Yeah, you know, I was looking at that question myself. And it's funny too, like what current studies? There's so many studies regarding learning environment strategies. You know, even my dissertation, I did a comparative study where I looked at art programs and how they're either integrated into a school's curriculum or not. In New York, you have to have arts or music part of your curriculum to graduate as a high school student. Comparatively, I did it to Florida school districts where the arts is not part of the program and you do not need arts to graduate. The comparative study showed that students who had arts involvement scored better on standardized tests. In essence, to answer Elaine's question, you know, it makes it a more effective environment. What do you think?
Well, for me, I think in the education world particular, because that's where my expertise is, it could be in other places, we don't quite understand what science is. At least when it comes to educational research, there's a lot of misunderstanding between what's a case study where we look at just what one teacher does versus what's a causational study where we look at, did this cause that? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of mixing up with that when we talk about research and education. And I think teachers get so overwhelmed. Like I still hear people talking about learning styles and that kids learn better auditory versus kinesthetic versus visual. And I'm like, no, that research has been thoroughly debunked. So it's about finding like the right resources, I think, for education. And again, I really love the learning scientists. I think they do great work. John Hopkins Cognitive Science Lab does great work. I'm also going to shout out the Center for Transformative Teaching and Learning, which is a bunch of teachers who got interested in neuroscience and started working with neuroscientists to get that information to teachers. But I think we have a big problem with burnout in teachers. And as you and I are talking, like field trips take time, guest speakers take time, finding diverse models takes time, learning the different projects takes time. Like all of this is incredibly time consuming. Reading research and how to apply it, it all takes time. Any teacher who's trying to make their classroom better, I encourage you to pick one or two things a year and not try and do everything at once. And I still do that in my 15 years is every year at the beginning of the year, I'm like, okay, what's my thing I'm going to work on? Sometimes I will change mid-year. This year, my big thing that I wanted to work on was writing. And then we got three months in and I was like, my kids are really depressed. Really depressed. And I started doing this research about like, it's not just my kids. It's like huge depression rates across the country. And so I was like, okay, My goal was that, but I'm going to switch it. I'm going to learn more about well-being. And I found Dr. Santos's work. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's from Yale. She has the most popular course ever called The Science of Well-Being. And she just made a curriculum for high school teachers about teaching kids how to take care of themselves. And so I was like, okay, that's my goal for this year. I'm going to help them learn how to take care of themselves. But that means I've set some things aside. I'm not doing as many guest speakers this year as I normally do. I'm not doing as many field trips as I normally do because this is my priority. And I think as we teach outside the curriculum, as we do all this stuff, we have to remember we can't do everything.
Basically, what we're trying to take home here is that everybody needs to be involved, right? It's a big community. Yes. You know, and it's easier. It's definitely easier said than done to make to make that community work. You know, it's a never ending battle, but for the good of our students.
I really enjoyed what they said there because everybody's classroom is different,
right?
And
Absolutely.
We can't just do the broad stroke. Hey, everybody, do this.
But you just have to be comfortable in your own shoes, right? So like. And last year, I learned something else. I find that students really enjoy seeing you trying something different with other teachers. So like they had a little talent show and I tap danced with a bunch of other teachers. Kids talked about that for like 2-3 weeks. And it was just something that they went, oh, you can do that. We didn't even know you could do that. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, and let's you know, so what do you guys do? And speaking of trying new things, this is my first time doing a podcast, so I'm going to be talking to my students about this as an experience. And I hope it was a good experience for you who are listening, and it was a good experience for you, Mike Conrad.
Why, thank you, Mike Kaufman. We are the Mikes.
The Mikes. You wanted me to join in on that.
Yeah, huh? I know, but you didn't.
I didn't. I blew it.
It's because it's a bad idea.
All right, so coming up next, keep listening because we'll get better at this. And
will we?
Maybe not. One of our upcoming episodes is strategies for creating inclusive classroom environments. So that's pretty exciting.
And then we'll have another one, which I'm sure is going to be of vital interest to a lot of us, educator mental health and well-being. This podcast is produced by SRL's community engagement manager, Emily Hope Dobkin, also known as
Dobbs.
Edited by Evan Gulak, who's one of my former students and SRL students. So it's wonderful to be alongside of him as a colleague and with support from lead podcast producer, Bridget Kansky.
And many thanks to SRL editorial director, Marie Cusick, and executive producer, Leah Klatman. You know, one of the most important things to me is food. And I got to tell you, my wife was going to put together a sandwich for me. And I said, you know what? I really just don't want the turkey and the cheese and the sauce.
I hate where you're going with this.
It can't be a sandwich. It has to be something I would look at and go, that's a wrap.